Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd and encourage you along. Yes, we are in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We are here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because if we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. And we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we are in your corner. So go wake up whoever is in your house. Let them know you got to get out to bed this morning. Go wake them up. Wake up that nephew that's staying in your house. Wake up that niece that's staying in your house. Wake up that grandbaby that's staying in your house. Wake up that granddaughter, that grandson. Wake up your first cousin, second cousin, third cousin. Whoever is in your house, wake them up. Let them know In Your Corner is on the air. We on the air. Let me go and get my roosters this morning. Let me go get my roosters. I'm just in case somebody having a tough time waking somebody up this morning. Let me go get my roosters. I know that'll wake you up. Put the computer right there by their ear. There you go. Thank you, Red. Thank you. I know Red finna wake y'all up. You ain't gonna be able to sleep with Red crowing. Well, there we go. Come on, Crow. All right. My roosters are crowing good. They're crowing good. Everybody look like they happy this morning. All right. Listen, I got another song here for you. Let me get this song here. This is a song by Luther Barnes and the Red Bud Choir. It's a song that says, I'm still holding on. Regardless what's going on in your life, keep on holding on.
They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, they did.
They said I never amount to anything.
You can't believe what everybody say about you now. See that? We on our way.
And I'm growing more and more each day.
All right, I'm gonna let them have it now.
There were many that started out with me, but now they've gone astray. But I'm still his name.
That's Luke the Bonds and the Redbud Choir saying, "I'm still holding on." Are you still holding on? Yes, you are. They may have been talking about you, but you let somebody know today, "I'm still holding on." They done lied on you, but you let somebody know, "I'm still holding on." I've been scandalized and talked about, but you let them know, "I'm still holding on." They promised me one thing, but they didn't come through on their promises. Let them know, "I'm still holding on." Some folks, they started out with you, but they ain't with you right now. That's all right. Let them know, "I'm still holding on." Somebody started going to church with you, but they ain't going to church no more. But that's all right. You keep on going. Keep on going. Still holding on. That's your song for today. All right, now let's go on to our Bible reading. We're going to read this morning out of Nehemiah chapter 13 through Esther's chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 13 through Esther's chapter 2. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written, that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. Before this, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Some time later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God, with the grain offerings and the incense. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, "Why is the house of God neglected?" Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storerooms. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan, son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, their assistant, because they were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their fellow Levites. Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys, together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore I warned them against selling food on that day. People from Tyre, who lived in Jerusalem, were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same things so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of them and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you two are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women?" One of the sons of Joiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, my God.
This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. The military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king. Karshina, Shethar, Admetha, Tarshish, Meriz, Marcina, and Mimukin, the seven nobles of Persia and Media who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom.
According to law, what must be done to Queen Vashti?
He asked.
She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her.
Then Mimukin replied in the presence of the king and the nobles.
Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect in this court. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands, from the least to the greatest.
The king and his nobles were pleased with this advice, so the king did as Mimukin proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his own household, using his native tongue. Later, when King Xerxes' fury had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed.
Let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem at the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Hegai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. And let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen, instead of Vashti.
This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, among those taken captive with Jehoiachin, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Hegai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Hegai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Before a young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning return to another part of the harem to the care of Sheazgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Hegai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins.
Bring me the royal crown.
So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
Esther shall be queen.
And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, but Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Tirish, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled on poles. All this was recorded in the Book of the Annals in the presence of the king.
All right. That was our scripture reading this morning. We read this morning out of the Book of Nehemiah, finishing up the Book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 13, through Esther's chapter 1 and 2. May God bless those who have heard his holy and divine word this morning. Right now it's prayer time. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all, let's circle up and let's pray. Let's bow our head and let's look up to the hills from which come our help. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you once again for giving us another day and that we didn't earn or merit, but it was by your divine grace that we have this day. And we do thank you, dear God. Lord, we thank you for our Bible study on last night. Lord, we just thank you for all the teachers. We thank you, dear God, for the preachers. We thank you for all the students, dear God. Now, Lord, we want to pray about this day. We want to pray, dear God, for the sick and shut in. Those, dear God, who are on their beds of affliction. The doctor may have said that there's nothing else they can do. But, Lord, there's something that you can do. So, Lord, you touch their bodies, please, sir, and heal their bodies if it be your will. Touch in Jesus' name. There are those, dear God, who don't have jobs and they need jobs. Lord, would you be so kind and lead them and guide them and direct them to the job that they are standing in need of. Lord, there is some home that's having family problems, dear God. Husband and wife can't get along, dear God. Would you be so kind and fix that in Jesus' name? Lord, there is some mama that's having trouble with the children. Don't know what to do, dear God. Lord, would you be so kind and fix that family situation in Jesus' name? There's somebody that's having trouble even on their jobs, dear God. I don't know who they are, but you know who they are. Would you be so kind and fix things on the job, dear God? There's somebody else that's just going through a storm. I don't know what it is, dear God, but they're going through a storm. Oh, dear God, give them the strength, dear God, to go through that storm. Because, Lord, you can give them the strength to make it to the other side. At the same time, Lord, you can speak to that situation and you could quieten the storm, dear God. Would you be so kind and fix that in Jesus' name? So, Lord, whatever your people are going through today, let them know, dear God, that they are not by themselves, that you are with them every step of the way. And Lord, help them to just keep on holding on. Help them to keep on keeping on. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. And amen again. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done had our prayer. We done had our song. And we done read our scriptures. So that's it this morning on In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for joining us and riding with us on that old Bible bus. Let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour we minister in music. So listen to us all day long because we are in your corner.